Morning, everybody. First Sunday in Advent, Christmas jumpers are now out. Yeah, well done. Well done to you that remember the tradition. Hang on. And as we come to this first Sunday in Advent, it reminds us of the meaning of Christmas. As I tell you, every year Advent is derived from the Latin word which means coming, and we prepare our hearts to celebrate the first coming of Jesus, but we look forward in anticipation to his future visible return from heaven. And as we come to the first Sunday in Advent, we think about hope. So anyone who has the tradition of lighting a candle or flicking a switch now, we think about hope, but also the prophet's message of hope to a people waiting for a coming Messiah. And if you think about the state of the people of Israel at the end of the Old Testament, they're in exile, they're waiting and hoping in prayerful expectation for the coming of the Messiah. And so are we, waiting again, as we look back upon Christ's coming and celebration, but we look forward. And so we prepare our hearts again in this Advent of expectation. Draw us together in unity, that our praise and worship might echo in these walls and also through our lives. In this Advent of expectation, draw us together in mission, that the hope within might be the song that we sing and the melody of our lives. In this Advent of expectation, draw us together in service, that the path we follow might lead us from a stable to a glimpse of eternity. Amen. And so we sing in worship number 94, Come, Let Us Sing of a Wonderful Love.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God of majesty and power, who spoke and this world came into being, who breathed and this world lived, who counts the hairs upon our head, who sees our thoughts and reads our hearts, who loves us more than we deserve. How can we not bring our sacrifice of praise? For in the child at Bethlehem lies the promise of intimacy with a Saviour who would die for each and every one of us, and the promise of an eternity in which to praise you more each day. God of promise, we praise your name. To you, O Lord, we bring our lives, troubled, broken, or at ease, a sacrificial offering for you to use. Take away our selfishness and teach us to love as you loved. Take away our sense of pride and show us the meaning of humility. Take away our blindness and show us the world through your eyes. Take away our greed and teach us how to give as you give. Show us your ways, teach us your paths, that we might walk with you more closely, our hand in your hand, our feet in your footsteps, from the baby in a stable to eternity. Heavenly Father, you alone are wise and good. We thank you for the truths that are contained in your holy word, and that by your grace you told us the end from the beginning. We thank you that you sent your Son to be born of a virgin and become the full and final atonement for my sin. We thank you that Jesus walked the earth and understands all the limitations of our humanity. Thank you that you fully understand our weaknesses. Thank you that our precious Saviour helps us in trials and temptations, and who is coming back one day to finalise the authority over sin, the world and the devil. To him we bring all the glory, honour and praise. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we've been doing through our Advent studies, it's been good to look at Advent and at Christmas through the eyes of hymn writers. And also, as we're thinking about prophets this morning, from the people of Israel who were yearning for that long-awaited Messiah. And our next hymn, and I see some of you always have a sneaky peek before the service starts, was actually originally composed in Latin, but we won't be singing it in Latin this morning. I know, I'm sorry. Spoilsport. But if anybody wants to do a solo in Latin, no? Okay. But it is one of the oldest that we find in any hymn book, not just our hymn book, in any hymn book. O come, Emmanuel is a prayer expressing a deep longing for the coming of Jesus Christ. And we remember that Emmanuel is God with us. It originates from the 8th century, so we can all feel like youngsters today. And it uses the Old Testament prophecies to call for the Messiah's arrival. And as I've been saying, anticipating his first coming as we celebrate now Christmas, but also looking forward to his future coming. And as we sing the verses, I want you to pay particular attention because it looks at the different titles that we have for Christ. You'll see the rod of Jesse, the key of David, the dayspring, different aspects of his role as saviour and deliverer. And evidently on each day of the week leading up to Christmas, one responsive verse would be chanted. So if you want to chant your way through Advent, then just pick up that hymn. We actually found a musical version in the 13th century, so we're getting there. But actually it was only translated into English in 1851. And so, as we come to sing, O come Emmanuel, number 493, let's just see how the names are developed for our Messiah. Sometimes when you sing like that, I get the best view and sound in the house. But you could hear it, couldn't you? You could hear the chant as you were singing. It was lovely. And so as we come and think about this symbolizing of hope, sometimes called the prophet's candle, as we think about the prophecies of Jesus' coming, we delve into Isaiah this morning as we think about Israel's abandonment of their Lord in favor of human powers. And it had to be punished. God wasn't having any of it. And it wasn't like he didn't tell them. He kept giving the prophets the messages, and the messages were given by the prophets to the people. And like even in today's world, people put their fingers in their ears and said, "We're not listening." There was a call to national repentance. And as we come to our reading this morning, we find King Ahaz, who is the heir of David's throne, has put his firm faith in the king of Assyria for his hope of salvation, because he's being threatened by two other kings to be attacked, and he'd rather put his faith in them than in the Lord himself. And so we read now how, through the book, prophet Isaiah, invites him to request a sign for himself, which he refuses. But in God's grace, he sent a message of hope to the house of David, God's chosen people, despite their persistent unbelief and idolatry. And so I'll ask Michelle if she'll give us our reading.
The reading today is from page 692 in your Bibles in the pew. It's Isaiah 7, verses 10 to 17. 692. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. It is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of you two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria."
Even when God's people rebel, God takes the initiative yet again, and in his grace, promise to save a small remnant. And if we were to look at Matthew 1, we would see that he quotes Isaiah's words verbatim, with the addition of the message of the sign Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And so we'll sing number 988, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Thank you.
Let's pray. God of hope, be with us in our Advent journey. May we be ready to listen, and having listened, to act for your glory. Amen. O come, Emmanuel. Lovely words, aren't they, to start our Advent journey again this year. As I said, it was first published in the mid-19th century, and we have it in its basis in the Benedictine Gregorian chant. History tells us at the beginning, in the week before Christmas, the monks would sing a verse a day to prepare their hearts and minds for Christmas. And as I invite you, please feel free to burst into song. Not right now. But as I said, it's an anonymous hymn, Latin hymn, in both a prayer for the first and the second coming of Christ. It takes us into the minds of ancient Israel, longing for the first coming of the Messiah. I don't know if we can actually imagine that. Have you ever tried to imagine what it would have been like for them waiting for a Messiah? When we already have a Messiah, and as we've just sung, we know what our Messiah did for us. Have you ever tried to think what it must have been like for the ancient Israelites? Waiting and waiting. If God was to give you one wish, what would you ask for? You don't have to tell me. I don't think I want to know. If God was to give you one wish, what would you ask for? We've just heard in our reading this morning that God gave King Ahaz the opportunity to request a sign. Now, that is a unique situation. God is asking and giving this wicked king the opportunity of a lifetime. And as if we were to start at the very beginning, we find there are two local kings threatening to invade his kingdom. Isaiah tells Ahaz and the Judean people that they are scared. It says they're shaking the trees in the wind. Where is God? He seemed distant to them, and they need help badly. And it is at that moment that God reveals himself. He comes to Ahaz through a message from the prophet Isaiah, telling him to stand strong in his faith. But as we've already found out, Ahaz doesn't seem to have much faith in God. Will this message from God's prophet be enough? Perhaps it's something we ought to ponder ourselves. Will God's message be enough for us? God says often throughout his word to stand strong in our faith. 1 Corinthians says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. I know there's days when I don't feel particularly courageous, let alone strong. I know on Friday at Bible study you were talking about faith. Yesterday we mentioned faith during our conversations at men's breakfast and the verse from Hebrews. Now faith is a confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. It actually goes on to say this is what the ancients were commended for, referring back again to all those that had come and lent on their faith. There's a quote that says, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And as we heard read to us, Ahaz, in response to the request, says, no thanks, I don't need a sign. I'm not going to put the Lord our God to the test. Now, as you can imagine, God is a little bit upset. And so we see in verse 13 that he confronts him for trying his patience. And in verse 14, God gives a sign anyway. It's like, I gave you the opportunity to say yes, please. You said no thanks, I'll do it anyway. the promise of a virgin who will give birth to a son called Emmanuel, God with us. Before Jesus was born, people hoped for the Messiah, the one who would bear their sin and intercede with God on their behalf. They expected, because the prophets told them, the Messiah to arrive through a virgin who would bear a son in Bethlehem. The night that Jesus was born, their hope was fulfilled. Although we're no longer waiting for Jesus in the form of a newborn, he is still the source of our hope, the only source of our hope. We now watch for his second coming. We anticipate the heavenly home that he is preparing for us. And we dream, I hope, of living with him in his heavenly city. As Christians, we look forward to the future because the baby in the manger was and still is the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, we again ponder God's promises. As we read in God's word, we strain to see the dawn of salvation, but we know that when it comes, the waiting will not be over. When Emmanuel arrives, when the day spring comes, we learn that salvation has only begun. Certainly, as we've just sung, the first blood is shed, the debt is paid, and forgiveness is assured. God's wrath is satisfied, our adoption is secured, and the future is certain. Our joy is great, but the end is not yet. We are still living in the world for now. And we continue to be experienced and to be affected by death, which still snatches away, by disease, which still makes us despondent, by greed, by selfishness, and all the list is endless. The devil still prowls and sin still indwells us. But Paul says to the church at Galatia, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope." So the longing continues. That's why we feel so despondent sometimes, why our hearts ache, because we know that we have a future that is so much better than our present. The now and the not yet. It's a phrase that I struggle to get my head around sometimes. But it reminds me, and this is for men's breakfast, of the words of Billy Graham. "My home is in heaven. I'm just passing through the world." As the people of Israel were exiles, so are those who are yearning for heaven. If we read Peter's letter, he calls us sojourners and exiles living in a foreign and hostile land. An exile is someone who is separated from the place they call home. That relationship defines them. Without that connection, they would be free from the mournful longing for a particular place. But then they would just be a wanderer. Our task is to make ourselves exiles rather than wanderers, to orientate ourselves towards God and long to abide in him, rather than to wander aimlessly in separation from him. It's a twofold process to cultivate a deepest desire for God and to recognize why we are exiled, why we are separated, why we are detached from him, distanced, to recognize what holds us captive today. The tune that we sang to O Come, Emmanuel, captures that lamenting mood of longing. We can sense almost, as we've sung it, the aching, the yearning, the hoping of God's people, both past and present and future. Can you imagine that when those words were penned back in the 8th century that, you know, in the 21st century we are still singing those same words, still having that same longing, that same yearning. We have the joy of the already, that we are saved, but also that yearning of the not yet. We are sorrowful sometimes, but also rejoicing. With all the Christian songs and carols that we will hear, I think it's good that there's one that particularly captures the real world that we live in. We can hear in the, oh, every verse, O come, Emmanuel, O come, thou Lord of might. O come, true rod of Jesse. O come, thou dayspring. O come, thou key of David. O come, desire of nations. We don't get all the verses in Mission Praise. This is the O of longing. And every name for Jesus is full of hope. As we've just read, as Emmanuel, God with us, he will pay the ransom that only a God-man can pay. As Lord of might, God alone is all-powerful, and he alone has the authority to call himself, as we will hear through Advent, the mighty God. As rod of Jesse springing up from that dead stump, he will be free. He will free his people by his death and resurrection. And we will be free forever, free to live our lives in abundance. As the day spring, the dawn of God's kingdom, he will be the light of the world and banish the hopelessness of darkness. And as the key of David, he rescues us from hell and unlocks the door of heaven and stands there with open arms and brings us home. As the desire of the nations, he will draw the ransom from every people and make from them a kingdom of peace. So I don't know if some of you have an Advent candle with the names of Jesus on. If you haven't, go get one and pray through all the names of Jesus through Advent. This is who Jesus is. This is what he has already achieved and will complete. And with every verse, the refrain that we hear, that it comes, doesn't it, into our weak hearts and pulls us up. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. Perhaps the impact of God with us is lost on us because we're a little bit complacent. We've always assumed that God is with us. We get to read in the Bible about Jesus walking the roads of Israel. We're told that his Holy Spirit is with us. And at Christmas, with all the nativity scenes people put on display, we're looking at the birth of a Christ. Are we just looking at it as a quaint story of a little baby? So how do we make Emmanuel matter in our daily lives? We must know the facts about Jesus and his Holy Spirit. We must be honest with ourselves that sometimes we do feel distant from him, or that he feels distant from us. What can we do when we feel far away from the God who wants to be close to each one of us? In James, we read, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We need to see the amazing importance of what God did to be God with us. Christmas is a momentous event, despite all that's going on in the media. It radically altered the version of life on planet Earth. God took on flesh. He drew near. O come means I will be present tomorrow, or I shall be with you tomorrow. That is a reason to rejoice. Jesus is God with us. He has not only come in history, but he is coming again. So when we sing each verse of this hymn, we acknowledge Christ as the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. We sing the hymn in an already but not yet kingdom of God. Christ's first coming gives us reason to rejoice again. Yet we know that all is not well with the world. So along with our rejoicing, we plead using the words of this hymn that Christ will come again to perfectly fulfill the promise that all darkness will be turned to light. Amen. So we pray. Father God, prepare our hearts not only for the celebration to come, but also for sharing the good news with our family and friends, work colleagues, and anyone else should the opportunity arise. Grant us courage and a real willingness to talk about the hope, peace, joy, and love that came down to earth and walked among us. Amen. So we're going to go out with a bang and sing number 506. No pressure. How great thou art. Let's pray. God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought joy into this world, be the joy that dwells between us. God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the centre, the focus of our lives, always and particularly through this Advent time. Amen.